As we approach Easter, we've been walking through the Gospel of Luke, looking at various passages that are unique to the story that Luke has to tell. This is not a Luke distinctive. This is an every gospel theme that as Jesus was moving on towards Jerusalem, which would be where the crucifixion and the resurrection would take place, he is going there to celebrate the Passover event. All three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, as well as Luke, note that he stops, his final stop, at least the final one that's mentioned, before he gets to Jerusalem is a place called Jericho. Now, Jericho is only about 20 miles away from Jerusalem. Someday I'm going to go to Israel and I'll be able to see these places for myself. Welcome back, Williamses. I'm looking forward to hearing about your time away. Maybe Glenn and Cheryl, you guys can talk and, you know, compare notes and say, I don't know, what do people who've been to the Holy Land say to one another? Shalom? Yeah, shalom. That's a good one. Why not? Yeah, shalom. I like that. Have you been to the Holy Land, Harold? Let's go sometime, huh? Let's do it. Okay, we're up for it. I think that'd be an awesome experience. But if we can imagine it, it's not that far. I mean, you think 20 miles is not very far, but if you're walking, it's a good haul. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good way. And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's coming down from the area around Galilee, and he's heading to Jerusalem to be there in time for the Passover celebration. And on his way to Jerusalem, he stops in a town called Jericho. And that's kind of where we pick up our story today in Luke 19. We see that Jesus is in Jericho, which is that last stop off before he makes the final trek down. And we see that by the time we get to the end of chapter 19, that we are celebrating, according to Luke, when Jesus comes into Jerusalem in what we call the triumphal entry, where he rides in on the donkey and the palm branches and all that we'll be celebrating next week when it comes to Palm Sunday. So here we are. We catch up in chapter 19. If you have Bibles or if you got a Bible app on your phone, you want to pull it out, get it ready. We'll be looking at chapter 19 today out of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is on his way to the cross, and yet even though he is on his way to the cross, and the cross will be probably about a week away, he stops here in Jericho to underline, to emphasize. And I think Luke captures this story on purpose, to underscore and to emphasize what the nature of Jesus' ministry and mission is for us and what a pattern for us it is intended to be. Okay, that's kind of a foundation, and I want to just begin with this. It is only in Luke that this short story about a short man by the name of Zacchaeus is told. So what is it about the story of Zacchaeus? We all know the story of Zacchaeus, don't we? Y'all know who Zacchaeus was? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. What did he do? He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. Oh, even got the hand signs. Oh, yeah, okay, well, there you go. Man, that was a good Sunday school program. We ought to take you over and help you with the kids there. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, oh, is there a hand sign? Oh, okay, Zacchaeus? You got to do the finger, right? You come down. It's not the finger of guilt.
No, I'm sorry. I've never heard this rhyme.
You've not heard this rhyme. You needed to go to the Sunday school class that Lori went to. Okay, let me finish it. And so Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house this day. I'm going to your house. Okay, sorry. I should have had Lori come up and help me with this. Yeah, a little sign language. Yeah, that's how she got started. For I'm going to your house this day. Now that's the story, that's the rhyme, okay? That's not the story. And we're going to see as we look at the story today that there's a couple things in that rhyme that are exactly dead on for what the story is about. That there is a hospitality, there is a grace that is extended by Jesus to this man Zacchaeus that we are told in the rhyme is a wee little man. How appropriate. On St. Patrick's Day weekend, we're talking about the wee people, you know? He might have been a leprechaun. I have never thought of that. The wee people, yes. The wee people. You know, it is funny how it is how it is with, because, but that's, okay, that's part of it. I don't know how I'm going to get back out of here. I guess I just better stick with it. Because I have some friends. I've got friends. In fact, some of my best friends in the world are we people. Yes?
Careful.
Well, you know what they say. You got to hand it to short people sometimes. Because they can't reach. Yeah, I think you should. He will like that. Okay, very good. I saw someone who was wearing a t-shirt, and they weren't very tall. And the t-shirt said, "I'm not short, I'm fun-sized." Hey, I like that. I said, that's a good one. That's a good one. And how about this one? I saw this one also, and I thought this was kind of clever. Short people, God only lets things grow until they're perfect. Some of us didn't take as long as others. Yeah, Val, that wasn't a. You know, I think some of us are still growing, actually, because we still haven't quite got there yet. But as the rhyme, as the song tells us, Zacchaeus was short, and we're going to see that that is part of the deal. But that's not really the point. That's the point of the rhyme. It is not the point of the story that we're about to read today. That, yes, Zacchaeus was short, and that plays into the story. It tells us the reason why he has to go out on a limb to be able to see Jesus, because he is not tall enough to be able to see over the crowd. We'll see that, and that's part of the story. But what we're going to see, the point of the story, is something completely different in the way that Jesus opens up his heart to this man who probably, as we were saying before the Just As I Am story song, probably didn't feel that he was worthy to be in the presence of Jesus any longer because of the life that he had lived. Because of the things he had done, because of the mistakes he had made, because of the mess that he had become, we felt that somehow that grace, it must be for somebody else and not for me. So let's go ahead and open up our Bible. So let's go into Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. And again, I want to read this, hear it, and say, why does Luke include this? What is it about this depiction of Jesus that Luke wants to capture for us and wants us to know? Because if it wasn't for Luke's gospel, we wouldn't know this story. So this story must have been important enough to Luke that he's going to include it, though no one else does. It says, Jesus entered Jericho. There it is, that last stopping off before he heads to Jerusalem. And was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. And I say that with such confidence, right? Because as you're looking at that word, you're saying, I'm glad he said that. It's one of those Bible names that you're saying, how does that pronounce? Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, here it is, the wee little man, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, before we go on, notice here that Zacchaeus is only mentioned in the Bible. Out of all the Bible, he's only mentioned in these short paragraphs here. We don't have any backstory except what Luke tells us in this description. We don't have any further story as what happens after Zacchaeus has an encounter with Jesus, except what is told later on in this story. All we have is this little bit here. So this becomes the whole beginning to introduce us to who Zacchaeus is. And there are three primary descriptions that Luke gives us of who this man is. We've already noted one. He was short. Now this is interesting because that is the only person in the Gospels who is referred to and mentioned about his height. The Bible doesn't generally tell us a whole lot of description about how someone looks, what their physical appearance was. Was he a large person, a small person, a fat person, a skinny person? Was he tall? Was he short? Was he blonde-haired, brown-haired, dark-haired? Was skin color, eye color? We don't see that very much, hardly at all throughout the Bible, but certainly not in the Gospels. But here, he refers to him being short. Now, that's probably not a big player in the personality of Zacchaeus, but it does factor into the story, doesn't it? But there are two other things. Did you catch them? How else Zacchaeus is described? He is rich or wealthy, depending on the version you read. And it says that, and that does play into this. Because, again, Jesus is going to say, earlier on in the gospel, we read that Jesus said that it was difficult for wealthy people to enter into the kingdom of God. Do you remember that story? In fact, that it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, which to you and me seems kind of impossible, than for a wealthy person to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what is that about? Is that God doesn't like wealthy people? No, it's just Jesus recognizing that for us to place our trust in God sometimes is difficult when we have a lot of stuff, because we tend to put our trust in our stuff, in my retirement account, in my paycheck, in my house that I bought with my money from my labor. You see how it all of our stuff tends to get our focus on our provision and our ability to make it in this world focuses on ourself. And yet the invitation to trust kind of runs counter to that. Okay, was there another description? There's one more. Yeah, and not just any old tax collector, but he is the chief. He is the chief tax collector. And again, for those of you who know Old Testament times, this is not somebody who works for the IRS today. This is not an invitation to hate the tax man. Well, yeah, I guess you can hate the tax man. I don't know one. They must be real. Yeah, he is the wee little chief. But he was a cheat. He was a cheat because that's what it meant to be a tax man in this day. That this would be, he would be seen as a traitor to his people. He would be a Jewish person who was working for the occupying Roman government. And so he's working for the enemy. He's working for the oppressor. And not only that, because they were told they have this area to collect taxes from, and the Romans are going to expect a certain amount of taxes. If they could get more taxes, better for them. And so they would rip people off. They would cheat their own folks to not only keep their position with the Romans intact, but also to line their pockets and to somehow get ahead. And so to say he was a tax collector, it would say this, that he had no friend in that town. Everyone would be right to say that that was the one man in town that everyone hated. There's probably a reason why this short little man wasn't able to find his way up to the front of the crowd, because no one's going to give him room. Why? They may give him an elbow, but they're not going to give him any room because he is the chief tax collector. And those three things are all going to play in. So he winds up out on the limb. Out on the limb here. He is out on a limb in more ways than one. Not only is he on a limb in the tree, but in the community that he lives in, he is out on the limb. He has, by his own design, set himself apart from the community of faith that might be part of his hope. But yet he has, by his own actions, set himself out on the outside. This is why I think Luke includes this story. Because remember that Luke is always showing, one of the distinctives of Luke is that he reminds us over and over again of Jesus' care for the outsider. Zacchaeus is the ultimate outsider. He is one who is by his actions and by his aligning himself, he has now set himself apart from his own community, the community of his birth, the community of his upbringing, the community of his faith. He has set himself outside of that now to become enemy of his own people. So he is out on a limb. He is out there by himself. And yet, even in that place of being out on a limb, we see he is not beyond the grasp of the grace of God that Jesus reveals. This is the Just As I Am song, Harold. I think he was up there singing that song as he's climbing down, as he's scampering down out of the tree, because he is the ultimate outsider who says, I don't have any chance, I don't have any right to this grace of God. And yet I look, and Jesus looks up into the tree, and let's continue on. So when Jesus sees him up in that spot, he looks up at him and he says, Zacchaeus, you scoundrel, you scallywag, you sinner. No, he doesn't, does he? See, this is, I think, what everyone in the whole crowd would have expected, that they would have expected and thought rightly so. This holy man, Jesus, walking through town, and when he sees this notorious sinner, he's going to call him out. He is going to call him down. He is going to identify the embarrassment, the shame of his sin, and label him as they all have labeled him. He is that guy, Zacchaeus. the notorious one. But Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus instead says, Zacchaeus. And notice this, he doesn't say, hey, you scallywag, you sinner. He simply says, Zacchaeus. How did he know? Was Zacchaeus wearing a name tag? I love name tags. I love them. And I see many of you are not wearing your name tags. But Bob, yeah, you got yours on. You're reaching for it. You got it. It's right there. Thank you. Good. Val, thank you. Yeah. William, it's a good thing I know you. It's a good thing I know you. Owen, it's a good thing I know you too. I'm keeping my eye on you as well, okay? But Jesus knew him. Jesus knew him, and talk about this. Again, for someone who feels that they have no longer deserved the grace of God, here it is. Jesus doesn't look at him and look away. He doesn't look through him as if he doesn't exist. He doesn't look through him as if he's invisible. That's what we do to people who we don't want to look at, isn't it? The people we don't want to be bothered with, the people that somehow we feel are beneath us, the people we think somehow are going to be asking something of us, we look as if they are not there. Be it the person with the sign out front saying, please help because we're in a bad spot, or that person maybe outside the mall who would say, hey, can you give me a hand? Can I get something from you? We kind of look past them. We look through them. We say, that's not for me to deal with because, you know what? They're not like me. But Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now, this is interesting. Because Jesus says, not only do I see you and I accept you for who I see you to be, but I want to come and be with you. This is not at all the sense of judgment. This is not at all the sense of rejection. This is not at all a sense of somehow letting your past get in the way of your present. This is Jesus saying, come and I want to be with you now. So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him, Jesus, gladly. But now the story twists. Because that could be a great ending, wouldn't it? But all the people saw this, and they began to mutter. You know, mutter is never good. When people start muttering about other people, it's not a good sign. And what do they mutter? They are starting to mutter. Jesus, I thought he was okay. I thought he was one of us. But no. He's hanging out with that sinner. Careful. Careful. He's gone to be the guest of that sinner. You know, we don't mind the fact that Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. Because there's a lot of nice lost people in this world. And we really don't mind when Jesus goes to people who are kind of like us, but just they don't have faith in Christ. And so we are kind of glad that that grace extends to those folk who are like us. But the reality is that there are a lot of people in this world who are not like us. Jesus went to Zacchaeus. And let's be honest, he was short. And he was a sinner. And he was an outsider. It's one thing for us to say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. But sometimes when we see that grace being extended or believe that we need to extend that grace to those who don't look like us, we say, amazing grace, not for them. They don't deserve it. They don't like us. I don't like them. They're not like me. And this becomes a stumbling block. You know, this is kind of similar to that passage you looked at last week about the younger brother and the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. Yeah, the amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves that younger brother. But the older brother has a problem with it, doesn't he? There's a problem that we have when that grace is extended, when that grace is as wide and amazing as the Bible says that grace is. And we stumble because there are people who don't seem to be living up to the standard that we think they ought to be living up to. Verse 8 says this, but Zacchaeus stood up, and before Jesus and all those who had gathered around, he said to them, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions, half of my possessions to the poor. He's talking about a man who is saying, I am no longer going to be the man I was, but I am going to be changed. And I'm going to demonstrate that by no longer being the greedy individual who thought only of myself, but I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. And not only that, if I have cheated anybody, and everyone knew that he had cheated everyone in the room, if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount I cheated them. There is something going on here. He is revealing a sense of change, that he has been touched by that grace, and he is coming to a place of repentance. Sometimes we think that once we say yes to Jesus, that's all we need to do. That is just about, I'm saying yes to Jesus and I'm good. But no, there is a point of saying that I'm going to say yes to Jesus, therefore my life needs to begin to show some change, because I need to begin to surrender my life and allow it to be transformed to look not like the grubby individual that it once was, but now to look more and more like the child of God that I was born to be. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Everyone else looked at Zacchaeus and saw a mean, little, dirty, rotten sinner. But Jesus saw another child of Abraham, though he was lost, one who was in need of redemption. What we see in this, again, there is this sense of dual meanings here. For all of us, it says that no matter what you have done, you, like Zacchaeus, have hope because the grace of God is extended to you. But there's also the flip side, and I think that Luke puts it in here intentionally to say, let us not ever become callous to the needs of the lost around us, even if they don't act or think or speak or look like we do. There is a pattern here. We see God's grace displayed in the prodigal son. We see God's grace displayed in this encounter with Zacchaeus. But we also see the danger, the struggle, the stumbling block that faces so many of us, that when we receive that grace, we hold on to that grace rather than letting it pass through to those around. That's the older brother's failing. That's the crowd's failing. And that's what Jesus calls them out to say, we need to see the world through different lenses. There is something beautiful about this amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saves us, that touches us, but then offers not only to change us, but to let us to be bearers of that grace to those around us. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. But there's a little bit of Zacchaeus in all of us. All of us don't quite measure up. And this is the truth here. I'll touch on this. There's something of Zacchaeus in all of us. This would be the truth of it. Because all of us, the Bible says, have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Lest we think that somehow we're better than the rest, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. But we're not without hope because of what Christ has done. In Romans 3, 23 and 24, it says, and all, that would include you, me, and even those who are not like us, have the opportunity to be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch, even like me. God, I thank you that you have met us here today. I thank you that your grace is extended to us. I pray for a deeper sense of compassion, a deeper sense of patience, a deeper sense of grace, not only having been given grace, but the ability to share that grace with others. Father, we ask that you would enable us to be your church, saved by grace, extending in mercy and grace to others. In Jesus' name, amen.